Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Sunday Evening Applied Spirituality Life Transformational Coaching Calls. I'm Kathy Kirk, founder of Applied Spirituality. I welcome you personally, and I'm so glad you're here. I hope you have your notebook handy to take notes, write questions as I make comments, and then you can hopefully ask questions later. Remember that everything here is proprietary information and covered by copyright. Nothing may be reproduced without expressed written consent. Also remember that everything you hear in this community is confidential. If you're tempted to share outside the community, please don't. One more announcement. Next Sunday evening, November 28th, there will be no call. I will be on a mini vacation and not able to conduct the call. But calls will resume on Sunday evening, December 5th. All right, so now I'll just get on with my comments for this evening. Tonight, I want to emphasize your relationship with yourself. This is truly the whole focus of what we are up to here on these calls, what Applied Spirituality is all about. When I speak about being in alignment with self, capital S, self, or out of alignment with source or well-being, what I'm talking about is that non-physical 96% of you that remains in well-being, that is you, which is source energy, which is who you really are. Sometimes we get so caught up in the physical reality of life, in the nitty-gritty of navigating physical life, that I think I'm not really making the point very clear to you. So in a sense, I'm going to reemphasize what a spiritual life is, a spiritual journey is in a spiritual awakening. It is not some mystical event. It's not an out-of-body event. It's in the body, right here, right now, in your physical experience, but it's bringing more of your 96% non-physical into the 4% human. In the 1960s, much time and energy was spent trying to get out of the body, either by meditation or by drugs to feel better. We are all always trying to feel better. We are all, that's evolution. What it means is we are all always trying to reach for our non-physical self and connect with our non-physical source energy. So whether you're taking a drug or exercising or meditating or praying, what you're really endeavoring to achieve is alignment with your real self. When you're having that 3 o'clock cup of coffee in the afternoon, trying to boost your energy, you're really reaching for your non-physical self, if you knew that. When you're having a glass of wine after work and trying to relax, what you're really reaching for is your non-physical source self. When you're seeking a relationship to be in love, what you're really reaching for is your non-physical real self. In everything we do here in this physical world, we are always reaching for our non-physical self, which always always, always feels good, great, delightful, joyous, exhilarating, intriguing, whatever. It's our higher perspective. It's our new thought. It's our inspiration. It's our confidence. And it's all our good, however we personally define that good. How do we know when we're in alignment with self? Because it feels better. We feel good. We're energized. We're lighter, happier, giddier, playful, fun, intelligent, wise. We're in the zone. And there are degrees of being in the zone, but even getting to the edge of the zone is a good, good thing. Once we raise our human vibrational countenance to where we're nearly at the edge of the zone, we have already created a life of mostly good experiences. So if we keep going, the next stop is into the zone, and that is perfect alignment with self. And that's where everything we've ever wished for or dreamed of is already. That's when we manifest the dream of the money, the relationship, the house, the health, whatever. These things are already in the zone awaiting our alignment with them. So how do we get into the zone? Well, there's only one way anyone gets into the zone. They feel their way into it. This is an emotional journey. Folks, your eyes, your ears, your hands, your nose, your mouth, your skin, your physical apparatus are for navigating the physical world. Your eyes translate the vibrations of sight. Your mouth and taste buds translate the vibrations of taste. Your ears translate the vibrations of sound. Your skin translates the vibrations of touch and texture. These get you around the physical planet. You know you prefer ice cream to raw sea urchin. You know you prefer lovely cotton sheets to canvas ones. You know you prefer the song of a bird rather than the kid next door practicing on his drums. You know you prefer to see something beautiful as opposed to roadkill. So you're always choosing. You have preferences, and always, always you're preferring things that feel good. Right? Right. So, as we are choosing the things that we prefer, they are always more good, i.e. more God. We naturally reach for those things in the physical variety of life. But now we're talking about the internal journey, and your physical senses weren't designed to navigate you through your internal journey, and the internal journey is what's telling you your relationship to your God self, to your source self, to your who you really are. So it's the internal journey here that we are focused on in these calls, and that is the spiritual journey. Our lifestyle in Western culture has removed our attention from our internal life, our emotions. This is the heart of where your non-physical self is always communicating with you. If you're not willing to feel your emotional guidance, you will remain lost on planet Earth until some huge cosmic goose event finally gets your attention. Many return to their inner world only through a huge thwack upside the head in their physical life, like a stroke or an accident or a breakdown or a job loss. Then, and only then, if the pain of where they are is greater than the fear of going where they need to go, do they begin to have a relationship with their larger self, capital S. No one has to wait for the cosmic 2x4. And by the way, this is not the universe hitting you in the head to get your attention. It's you waking yourself up to the things that are operating in you that don't serve you anymore. The knots are in the human mind. Sometimes you have to lose your human mind in order to regain your real mind, your divine mind, your non-physical source energy, well-being self. And that God mind is there. It's from whence you came, and it's the larger part of you, because you here in physical are merely an extension of that energy. So your emotions are how you navigate your relationship with yourself. This is the first relationship. This is the most important relationship. All through our day, we're usually focused externally, wondering what this one thinks, how that one's going to react, how this is going to affect someone else, what will people say, what will people think. We are constantly engaging the external, but never listening to where we are in relationship to our inner being, our Godship. And this is the place that we are learning right here to refocus. That's what this training is about, refocusing on what's going on with us. If you're doing the exercises and writing in your journal and having conversations with yourself, reaching for your divine mind, you are doing the emotional spiritual journey back to self, capital self, on many, many topics as you release the false beliefs of human mind. So this week, this is what the focus is going to be. All day long, no matter what you're up to, who you're with, what you're doing, you're going to be checking in with yourself, and you're going to be asking yourself two things. How am I feeling, and what do I prefer or want? Now, this is not an easy assignment, so I am assigning it for the next 2 weeks. This is hard. At least I find it hard, and I have found it hard, to remind myself in every now moment that my only job is to feel my relationship to my greater self, notice it, and get back into alignment with it. So the questions you want to ask are some variations of, what am I feeling? What do I prefer? And that is the relationship between you, your human mind, and your God mind. So if it feels good, you're in the neighborhood of the zone of connection with Source. If you're not feeling good, you're out of alignment. So that's why the next question, what would I prefer? So I'm telling you, this is not an easy job because none of us have been taught to check in with ourselves. And I think this is the only relationship that matters is our connection with ourselves. Because when we're connected with ourselves, we are doing what we love to do, we're being who we really are, and we are a blessing to the world. No questions asked. I mean, that's the absolute. That's like Jesus in the zone. That's us in the zone. It's the same thing. Okay, so this is the purpose of that journaling, AM and PM. But now I want you to become even more aware of how you're feeling each and every moment of the day. I want you to become aware of the voices inside of you that are spewing out the relentless fear messages without edit. I want you to get to know the kingdom of you. So a few weeks ago, I know I told you about the exercise where you are to gather up pictures of yourself from as an early an age of yourself as possible and pin them up onto a wall in chronological order. So we're going to set them up. In fact, you might even want to put them in a circle if you want to make a physical picture on the wall of what you're going to be doing internally and sort of mentally. And you, a picture of you, current you, is going to sit at one head of this round table. And then pick some emblem that is your image of your God self. So it could be a giant angel, it could be a giant star, it could be a giant light. I mean, it doesn't matter, but pin that at the other end of this round table that you're setting up. This is now sort of a representation of the kingdom of you. So with the God chip, your God self being 96% of you, in all the other entries along either side of the table and you at the head, that's the 4% of you that's in physical. And the people around the edges of the table, the parts of you around the edge of the table, are in your mind. And they're represented by you at different ages. And this is where you're going to get a negative emotion from. This is where you're going to get anything less than alignment. And those are the people you're going to be addressing when you're getting somebody saying, "Awuga, dive, they're in fear, they're in sadness, they're in hiding, they're in recluse, they're in overwhelm, they're in fright, whatever." But that's where the negative is going to come from, these pictures of you on either side of the round table. So another image I got as I was writing this today, and I was thinking about, is, so you have this round table. So now here's another one, is to imagine this big round table as a ship, and you yourself in today in your physical body in 2010, you're the captain of this ship. And you're setting a course, and the course is your joy and your dream life and the things you want to be and have and do, right? And the things you wish for and the things you prefer. So your God self immediately expands into that which you wished for and dreamed for, and your God self is experiencing it right away. I mean, instantaneously, the universe has answered your request. And we have expanded not just you, but you've expanded the universe in this act of desire. So you tell the people of your kingdom that that's the direction you want to row in. So you want to row in the direction of a new successful relationship or a new successful business or whatever that dream is for you. And they don't. You know, so you've got a few on one side rowing maybe that way and a couple on the other side maybe rowing that way. And but some have pulled their oar out of the water and some are actually frantically trying to row in a different direction. They are the ones that believe in your limitations. They think the earth is flat, and if we keep rowing in the direction you want them to row in, you're just going to fall off the earth and you're going to die. So maybe if you are maybe rowing and attempting to align with your God self, but this is how we as a kingdom of ourself are divided against ourselves, and therefore we have a divided energy. So we have two vibrations going on. We've got the God self vibration going on that's having a great time in our human self vibration that hasn't joined the party. So the job then is the ones not rowing into alignment are the ones causing you to feel the negative emotion. The mere fact that they are not aligned with your God self is the negative emotion. That fact of misalignment, that separation from source, is misalignment, is negative emotion, is pain or discomfort in any degree. So they will tell you what they're believing that's not true. And this is where you, as the captain of your ship, can listen and then gradually get them to think a wee better thought. Soothe them, help them raise that limiting thought up, 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 up until it's in alignment with source. And now that little part of you is now rowing in alignment with source. In other words, in vibrational, back to the vibrational discussion, you've raised that thought vibration in your own countenance from something that's not aligned, and now you're vibrating at a higher level. And now the universe is responding to you at that higher level. And so the things that you have wished for are now starting to show up. The only way you ever get your parts to all row in the same direction of your desire is to pay attention to how you are feeling. It's not a popular thing in Western culture to feel. We've been talked out of our feelings since I can remember, and the medical establishment hands out antidepressants. They hand out all kinds of drugs so that people don't feel their pain, and the pain is instructive. So now there's another piece to this, and I spoke about it briefly. We are vibrational creatures. Just as light is vibration, sound is vibration, color is vibration, the wood in your table is vibration, we create vibrationally long before it becomes a physical manifestation in the physical format. A simple but easy example is flying. Leonardo da Vinci drew pictures of machines flying in the air around 1488, but the Wright brothers never flew their first plane until 1903. That was 415 years later. We landed on the moon then in 1968. So this is the progression of a thought form. So Da Vinci had a thought form. He drew it. It's now in the collective where anybody can sort of tap into it. And it took years and years and years for enough people and the evolution of thought to actually kind of put it into the format of somebody creating a flying machine. And then, wow, from really, it's kind of a short jump then if you look from 1903 to 1968 to landing on the moon. So the vibrational thought form of flight began way before we ever saw the first plane. Now, I don't want you to get all sad and weirded out thinking that it's going to take you 1,400 years or 400 years to get, you know, your mate or your successful business or whatever it is you're desiring to create in your life. It all depends on you doing the work that it takes to relax into the greater non-physical part of you. And probably part of the trouble is that we use the term inner work when we're trying to discuss something that requires us to relax. So it's kind of an oxymoron. So maybe I should work on better language in a way to describe that. Throughout our lives, we have sent off more rockets of desire for the things that we want, consciously and subconsciously, that would probably fulfill four lifetimes. What we have not done is relax and allow those things to come in. So what we're really trying to do here specifically in Western culture is shut up our human mind, stop sending more directions out to the universe, and rather relax and learn how to receive the good that is already ours. And we do that by lining up with our source self. So if you're not paying attention to how you feel, it's going to take longer because we have adopted many unconscious ways of holding ourselves out of alignment. Our postures are, they're so ingrained that we don't even know the ways that we are in tension. And that tension, if you think about like a hose, like a garden hose, if our source energy is flowing to us in the metaphor of a garden hose, we've got kinks all along our hose that have been there for a long time. And we don't even know it. We just carry ourselves that way. We just think that way. We just do it that way. So that's why the spiritual journey is more of a relax and allowing and becoming aware of how we're holding ourselves and how we just stuff that uncomfortable thought right down into our belly or right down into our back or right down into our knee instead of acknowledging that I just had a feeling that didn't feel good. So it's more of a relaxing and a watching ourselves and observing ourselves and being aware of how we're kinking our hose so that we can unkink the hose, which is relaxing. So if you're paying attention and your primary goal is that you feel good, you're going to get there way faster. And another thing to just sort of tuck in there is that things are moving much faster. So we have great support from non-physical. Never before have we been able to line up more quickly and manifest things more quickly if we can line up. So it's definitely not going to be 400 years or it can be tomorrow. It could be a week from today. It can be a year from now. It's really up to you how much you really want to relax and allow this flow of pure, high, fast source frequency energy to flow through you. That's really the decision. All right, so what always stops us are, of course, the beliefs of human mind, which are the kinks in the hose. And a famous one might be like, should I go play or should I work on my business? So the answer to that one for anybody, should you go play or should you work on your business? Well, you should only go play if you can work, if you can do that without any guilt. Because there's no reason to go play if you can't enjoy it. You have to be able to be in the pure state of joy. In the pure state of joy, you've got a ton of stuff that you've asked for avalanching towards you. You are in a pure state of allowing if you're in joy. But if you're in half joy and divided with half guilt, it's a no good situation. And that's why most of us are sort of having half great lives and then, gee, how come this doesn't move? Okay, so the work up to that moment then is releasing the belief that you have to work hard maybe, or releasing the belief that you have to earn your good, or releasing the belief that you're not worthy or deserving of your good. Watch children at play. They are not concerned or clouded in their minds with, I ought to be doing this or that, or worrying about where their next paycheck is coming from or what they're going to fix for dinner. They are clearly playing. They are clearly in pure positive focus of joy. They are clearly enjoying what they're up to. And if you can really do that, then spend 15 minutes envisioning your business and then go play purely and clearly. It'd be the same as like watching your pet play. In that pure focus of joy, then go do that. And everything that you just imagined in your 15 minutes of visualizing what it is you want to create, you've just opened the floodgates to create it. As you work with your inner life, more of these unconscious beliefs will surface for reversing, reverbalizing, and releasing. The idea here is that as you release them or reverse them, as you raise them to a higher belief vibration in your good, trusting in your good, trusting in your true place with the big universe, and trusting that the big you is really responding to you personally, more and more of these parts of you that have been rowing in an opposite direction begin rowing with you because they are now convinced of your good. They are trusting. They are lined up with your God self. None of this happens, of course, if you're not paying attention or trying not to feel your feelings. Then the 2x4 is surely coming. Essentially, with every human, it comes down to trusting that this is the way life really works, and trusting that you are included in the bounty of good, that the universe has your back, that this is a benevolent world we live in. I see people who rejoice and delight in others' good news, yet don't allow themselves to be included in the goodies. These are beliefs that are held by the people around your round table for whatever reason. Start talking to them because you too are included in all the good. But until you start communicating with yourself, your life will continue to look the way it does right now. Do you really realize that you can be happy right now? Do you understand that you're supposed to be happy, joyful, and fulfilled right up until the day you decide to leave? Do you get it that you don't have to degenerate and get sick? Do you realize that age has nothing to do with anything? Do you realize that you deserve to be outrageously happy? Do you realize the prison that you've built for yourself in your human mind just so you can feel safe? Attitude, attitude, attitude. For weeks, I've been coaxing you to take the attitude with yourself like you would your most beloved pet or child. Because hating yourself, criticizing yourself, diminishing yourself in any way for the things you've not been able to see is not the way to get your inner parts to talk to you. Approaching yourself like you're bad or wrong is not the way to get your parts to talk to you and reveal why they're holding back on you. But being your own best friend is. Being your kindest, gentlest pal is. Encouraging yourself of how well you're doing is. Doing a happy dance for every bit of change you do and every bit of good you see and every little step you make is. Praising yourself is. Every bit of good you can say about yourself is your God self actually being allowed into your human mind for expression. Your God self is always adoring you, experiencing the perfection of you, delighting in you. It will never condescend into your negative picture of yourself because it cannot. It remains in source and the fullness of well-being, which is you. You're just the 4% that's not allowing it to happen. The way to allow yourself in is to relax and allow it. The only purpose of meditation is to quieten your mind, your human mind. Are you actually attempting any sort of meditation throughout your day? The quickest and easiest course is to use your breath. Are you doing that? Are you breathing at your bathroom breaks? Are you taking notice of how you're breathing as you drive, then choosing to deepen and perhaps slow it? Are you actually catching yourself in the midst of your usual negative thoughts, words, sentences, and stopping yourself and then reframing it? So practices to bring your focus of attention back to your relationship with you. Number one, ask yourself frequently throughout the day, am I happy? What do I feel right now? What would I prefer, if anything? Number two, use your journal to connect with yourself and yourselves. Number three, post the pictures of your many selves. Number four, make your relationship with yourself your first and most important priority, not just of every day, but of every moment. Indeed, before you attempt anything, get into alignment, breathe, then decide what you need to decide, then do what you need to do. Number five, there is no other work that is of greater importance to you and everyone else because your greatest gift to the world is your God self, which no one else can offer. All right, those are my comments for this evening. Actually, I have one more thing to tell you about that, about your breath. The breath is your quickest, most direct connection to your non-physical self. Yes, it is breathing in oxygen and doing all the physical things, but it also is your connection to your non-physical energetic self. So if you notice when you're sick or you're nervous or you're hurt or wounded, you catch your breath or you stop breathing or you're breathing shallow. The ancient Hawaiians used to breathe before anything. They called it haka breathing. And ha being energy. And they would breathe before they did anything, gathered food, went fishing, made love, went to war, went hunting, whatever, because they knew that was the connection to their source energy. If you're doing my Earthlings Quick Start Guide online course, the very first chapter is about breath. And I encourage you to go there and do that chapter. There's a great video in the online course of the New Zealand rugby team, the All Blacks. They're amazing. They do a haka breathing exercise on the rugby field before every game. And it's pretty interesting because they get very fierce. They're very focused. But I put it on there because I wanted people to see the ancient haka breathing and the power of their focus. And it's kind of funny, too, when the cameras span the other team because the other team is usually laughing at them. And then, of course, they lose. So anyway, your breath. Follow your breath. Okay, so those are all the comments I have for this evening. And so if you have any comments, you can hit *6 and unmute yourself. Okay, while I'm waiting here, I do have three emails from people this week. I don't know if they're on the line, but at any rate, I'm going to answer these so that they can get their answers in the recording. This first question is from Nancy in Illinois, and she writes, I recently accepted a new job in a new city. I moved. My husband remained in our home to get it sold. My children are finally on their own. My sister asked me the other day if I was happy in my new job, but I couldn't answer the question. I'm not unhappy. For the first time in my life, I'm living alone. I have all kinds of time to read, walk, do my job, and I come home to a quiet with no one to take care of. Yet, I couldn't say I was really happy doing my job. How is it that I don't know what I feel? Can it be that I don't know what I want? Okay, Nance, great question. And good for you that you have the awareness of how come I can't answer that question. So good for you. And good on you for being aware, if only vaguely, that something else is afoot. There's far more going on here than just your new job. First, you're feeling the quickening of events cosmically. So everybody's feeling this, whether they are aware of it or not, but everything is moving faster. And this is part of the big, giant picture of being on planet Earth in the evolution of consciousness of mankind. So you're involved in that as well. For this part, your human mind just has no words or explanation. So it feels vague, even maybe perhaps feels like a calling towards something which your mind can't name. So that is your, it's your, like your soul calling you home to yourself. It's your deepest desires. It's who you really are calling your human mind focus back home. So that's going on. Secondly, you, the universe, have provided yourself with a great job in a situation where you, for the first time, have the freedom to be unconcerned with anyone or anything external to you except for the focus of your job. So your habit of focus over these many, many years has been external onto your family. So that's the big groove that you're in. That's your momentum. So, but you're basically unpracticed at focused internally. So it's like a blank. It's sort of like when you have a quiet moment, you kind of don't know what to do with it. Where would I turn my attention? So give yourself some time and some space to get familiar with what that would feel like to focus internally, to journal, to sit quietly, to ask yourself, what does it feel like to walk through the market? What does it feel like? Who's talking to me? To do mental exercises about creating a round table. These are things that this inner journey is something most people have no idea of. So you're learning something new and you're being called home, and so it's beckoning you inward. So keep writing in your journal, post up your pictures, and keep doing the things in the world that give you joy. When you feel guilty at not working hard or not taking care of others, go in and talk to those parts of yourself that hold those beliefs and soothe them. Soothe them back into alignment. There's nothing more important than you feel good. And you're on a journey of self-discovery as your real self reveals itself to you. So as you can relax and allow and enjoy it, that's how you'll get to feel more comfortable with it. I know it's disconcerting. Suddenly there's all this time and a blank screen where you can ask, what do I prefer? And most people just get busy. But I would suggest get busy consciously. And if you're going to get busy consciously with things that you consciously choose to explore that might give you joy. And if they don't hold yourself to finishing them because you're on a journey. So you get to ask yourself what your heart's desires are, your temptation, your human mind habit will be to rein all your desires in. And it will tell you to don't fantasize and make sure that when you have fantasies about what your ideal life would be like, that you include all the people you love and include your husband. But don't even do that. For this time, be absolutely selfish and get to the essence of what you really, really would love to be doing. Because the universe has the capacity to meet everyone's desires at the same time. Your job is to reflect, pay attention, gather the essence of what you want, how it would feel, what it would look like. Take all the restraints off yourself that you've believed before, and now allow your spirit to soar and to fly into what might be next. Be grateful and give thanks to the perfection of this journey. It's perfectly unfolding. What is shifting is your perspective, plus letting go of all the human mind beliefs that limited your choices up until now. I suspect you took the job because you felt you'd better take it, because jobs were limited, etc. But now you can play what if and let your imagination soar while you're releasing limiting beliefs. You created this. Now, what is it you'd like to create next? Relish your moments, reach for your good, and pay very close attention to how you feel, often doing what you always do, and then doing things you love to do. This is all very subtle stuff, but use your journal and enjoy the process. Great question. Okay, the next question is from Marianne in Medina, and she writes, I'm a first grade teacher. I've asked a question before here, and now I have another one. I worry about the mixture of children in my class. Some are slower than others and need more individual attention to keep up. Others are really quick to catch on. And when I have to slow down for the slower children, they become bored and unruly. However, how do I be all things to so many kids? Add to this the relentless schedule we're supposed to keep so that the children test well. The pressure is immense, and I'm working on my own alignment. I'm fairly new at this, but I am doing it. Thanks. Okay, great, Marianne. Thanks for writing in, and good on you for doing your inner alignment. So keep doing that, because that's the most important thing. The first thing I want to tell you to just soothe your human mind is those kids are benefiting from being with each other, the slower with the faster and the faster with the slower. So, you know, don't worry so much about that part of it. They take a page out of each other's books, and they have a really wonderful way of abiding with each other if we're not poking our belief into that, like there's something wrong. If you watch kids, they will naturally help each other. They will naturally accept each other's limitations. But even the slower children are going to be encouraged to faster and higher and better. So I wouldn't worry so much on that external front there. Every one of us so supports your work as a teacher, and I think we all have an idea of how challenging it has become. But never forget that the first alignment is with you. So yourself, your God self, is so delighted to get to play with those kids. And I'm betting that those kids are really delighted that they get to play with you as well. But the nature of yourself, your God self, your true self, and theirs is common. And that commonality is joy and play and freedom. So if you would take the time to make lists of all the things you love about those kids individually, seeing their God self and get into alignment with those high aspects of who they are, then the vibration that you bring into the classroom is that. And we'll call that forth from them. Their highest, most cooperative self shows up. Endeavor to make things fun. And, of course, if you're in alignment, you're in your playful self. And you will attract that and influence that vibration in them. So check in constantly with yourself. You might even teach this process to them. I mean, what a concept to teach these children at a very early age to check in with themselves and find out how they feel with themselves. I mean, that would be revolutionary, wouldn't it? So if one is checking in and saying, I feel pretty good, I feel happy, and one says, I don't, that one's out of alignment. And so that you can teach them that, well, it's time to get back into alignment. Let's all take some breaths. Let's get back into alignment. Let's feel good. And you're instilling in them at the very minute that the most important thing is to be in alignment and to feel good before they move on with their day. I mean, I don't know any school that's teaching that. I also want you to know that there is nothing that cannot be done if you can imagine it. So spend time imagining where you have a contrast that has made you launch a desire. If you feel like you have not enough time, or you feel like you don't have enough assistance, or whatever those things are that you're feeling a negative emotion about in your classroom, spend time imagining the opposite, the fulfillment of what you need. Plenty of time, plenty of help, plenty of books, plenty of time to play. Whatever those things are for you. So imagine maybe there's other children that would help teach the slower ones. I mean, there's infinite solutions, but none of them, of course, are going to be available to you unless you're lined up with your solution. And when you're lined up with solution, then from within the zone of solution, myriad other solutions pop up. So again, that alignment is everything, okay? And then keep doing your exercises, but add in the lists of children, of the things you love about the kids and what you love about the job. And also prepave. Give a few moments in your day to prepave the different segments with the children. You know, maybe between the segments of we're doing spelling and then we're moving into writing and then we're moving into whatever those segments are, why don't you give like 3 minutes of pre-paving it? And you can even do it out loud, helping the children pivot from one focus to the next. I mean, there's a lot of things that we can do here. And then work, I'd say, about 15 minutes a day with your vision of success in that classroom and how it would feel for you to feel like you were doing a successful job, feeling a successful teacher, in all the ways that you can imagine. And imagine, too, that this changes and you can redial in and recolor in that vision of what you want. But spend some pure positive focus telling a new story. Writing a new story. If you go up for a walk as you're walking, tell the new story as if you're already in it. Okay? So I'm just giving you some suggestions, and if you tackle one a week, you'll be doing well, and you're going to see some shifts. And then soon, I'm going to say maybe within a few months, these other teachers are going to be asking you what you're doing. Because once your kids are happy and in joy and they're feeling playful, they're going to learn exponentially. The time it takes to learn is going to be so much shorter. They're just going to be in the zone. They'll be sucking it up like little sponges. So try that and get back to us. All right. Last question here I have from Joni, also in Medina. I'm new here to the group, so I've just been listening and doing the exercises. Now I have a question which may seem silly to everyone, but here it is. As winter approaches, I find myself dreading it. I have come to hate winter. I hate snow, feeling cold, shoveling snow, driving in it, every bit of it. As it appears right now, I'm stuck. How can I shift this? I know I cannot change the weather. But from what I'm hearing here, I can change my internal response to this. Is that possible? Well, good on you, Joni. I can only thank you so much for this question, because ever since I moved to Ohio, all I hear is people complaining about the weather, like they believe the ideal weather is in San Diego, and here it's just horrible, and it's something we have to endure at best. So I heartily welcome your question and honor you that you're taking responsibility to change your internal response to it, which will absolutely alter the rest of all the other stuff that you want to come into. So good for you. I just want to say here right now to everybody, you know, it really doesn't matter what you're using as your excuse to be out of alignment. If you're out of alignment, you're postponing all your good coming into your own realization experience. So, I mean, good for you, Joni, for bringing up the subject of weather, because it's a subject that a lot of people use as their excuse to be out of alignment. So the first thing you've already done, which is to recognize a negative response that you're having at the thought of winter. So what do you suppose that's all about? So this is where you can like write in your journal and ask yourself the question. And to find out, you have to go within and chat with those parts of you that have this attitude. So it should be kind of interesting. So what kinds of things could you talk to them about in order to shift their view of winter? Off the bat, what comes to my mind, you could talk to them about how much we enjoy apples, and cold weather is necessary for apples, and it's necessary for berries in the summer. And you could go on and on about that. So you could also find out, is the resentment about winter maybe more to do with having to get up and drive when even the bears are sleeping, you know? So maybe it's about moving contrary to your natural rhythms that's going on in there. Could this be launching a desire in you for a job that gives you the freedom to take a snow day whenever you want to and not have to do it? Could it be launching a desire to move elsewhere? The ideal place where you're wanting to get to is internally having made peace with where you are in Ohio in the winter, with all of the snow and ice and gray days and all of it, in such a way that it's a neutral subject for you, or even a positive subject. You could actually swing it to become a positive experience. You might play with it, but for now, since we're at hate, we're pretty far down on the emotional scale on that subject. But I would just start making lists and talking to my parts in raising the vibration of the appreciation of winter. Have you ever walked in the stillness of a new snow? Have you ever gone out on a night when it's all snowy and the stars are out and it and the moon is shining on the snow and it's magic? I mean, look for the good things. Find one good thing about it a day. Maybe you like wool socks. Maybe you love that you get to wear yummy sweaters. Anything that you can begin to shift the whole concept of a negative idea of winter into something warm and cozy and wonderful, attack it from any position you want to. Decide you're going to look for the things that you love and that delight about winter. Do you notice the deeper colors at the sunsets? Can you marvel at the tilting of the planet with its inevitable return to spring and summer? Can you imagine that the trees and plants are resting for future growth? Could this be something speaking to you personally? Maybe slowing down in winter, joining fewer things, having fewer things to do, and giving more time to yourself. So keep writing in your journal and moving your parts into alignment with contentment with what is and yet eager for more. Maybe read some books about winter, what it does, what its natural purpose, its good effects. Give yourself permission to not drive in it if you don't have to, or even if you have to, then give yourself permission to not do it. Release the should and oughts. Find new ways. Maybe if you have to shovel your car up, find a garage so you don't have to shovel your car off. Hire somebody to shovel your driveway. Do a trade with a neighbor to keep your driveway plowed or your walk cleared off. Go out and make a snowman one day. Make an angel in it. Shift it in whatever way you can. So that's what I have to offer, and I really honor you that you're going to shift this, and I hope you'll keep us abreast. So any more comments or questions? I don't have any more questions for tonight. So to unmute yourself, use star 6. Okay. So remember, next Sunday, there will be no call. That's the 28th of November. But there will be a call on December 5th at 6 p.m., usual time. And I want you all to have a wonderful Thanksgiving. And I'm just going to leave you with one really interesting thought so you can chew on this. Don't be grateful. Be appreciative. So until next time, you have nothing to fear and nothing to worry about. You are loved beyond measure. Feel for it. Good night.